Hello, world. This is a clip from one of our Patreon exclusive episodes. If you want to watch the full episode, go to our Patreon. It's linked below. It's patreon.com/concretevideos. Luke James is one of my best friends since middle school. We started a ad agency together in our early 20s, working on ad campaigns and creative campaigns for big national brands, local businesses, celebrities like Hulk Hogan. On this, we talk a lot about the early days, a lot of the things that we're not proud of, things that I'm not proud of, stupid, ignorant shit, drugs, being shitheads in our early 20s, going to Vegas with Hulk Hogan, lots of crazy ass stories. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with the amazing Luke James.
But that's, you know, accessibility makes things not cool.
I don't know why I don't like it, though. I mean, I tried to like it. I tried to get into it.
Yeah, you got the hat.
I tried to get some of the hype. I understand that you guys get the dopamine from going on there every Thursday at 11 a.m. It's like watching Game of Thrones.
It's competitive capitalism.
Competitive capitalism.
Because you're fighting everybody for that one little slot to just buy something, and then that's how they get you addicted. So not only do you get the reward buying something, you get the reward winning over everybody else that didn't get one. It's like, I fucking got one, and you didn't get shit.
It's competitive consumerism.
Yeah.
The capitalism. It's like anti-competitive capitalism. Because they have... They're not really... are they competing with anybody?
Yeah, you're competing. I got to get to the website first. And not only am I going to get to
it
first...
You are, because you're the consumer. But I'm talking about them.
Oh, I mean...
Like who is Supreme? Supreme has no competition. They drop shit and they sell out instantly everything, right?
Yeah. They're their own competition.
It's all about, yeah, they're their own.
Their website is their competition because that shit sucks. Slow.
That's by design.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so.
Makes it more exciting.
Makes
like,
it so good.
I got to do it. Like, I remember people in like meetings, like 11, like they'd have to push it because they'd just be like refreshing trying to get shit. I like it.
What meetings?
Oh, like when I worked at places.
Oh.
It's like people in the middle of shit trying to buy Supreme.
When you worked at places, people were trying to buy Supreme?
Yeah, like in the middle of a fucking meeting. Like, they're trying to.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's like, they're like.
Where?
When I was at Leo Burnett. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, we're about to, like, present some shit. And there was two dudes next to me that, like, had work to present. And they're just, like, refreshing the Supreme thing, trying to get a hat. Bro, we've been up to, like, fucking 2 a.m. Can we sell this fucking work, please?
Oh, my God, dude. That's insane.
It's addicting.
I don't think anything on there is that great.
I like the hats.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the hat.
Yeah, the hat you wear is cool looking.
I like it. But, like, I don't know. A lot of the stuff is, like, too much. A lot of that stuff is way too much. Like, the Chrome Heart shit, too. Like, the jeans with the crosses.
Like, Tfue's jeans?
Yeah, dude. What the fuck? This is some whack-ass fucking $10,000 jeans.
Well, dude, we're, like, we're the old people now. We don't get what the young people are into.
Oh, I understand fashion. I get it. It's
Do
not.
Do you?
I pay attention to it. I see what's going on. Don't let the fucking ratty ass old band t-shirt fucking fool you. Like, I pay attention to shit.
You keep up with it?
Yeah, I keep up with it. Just because I don't like something doesn't mean I'm old. It just means I have an opinion about something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, convince me otherwise. Like, why are these fucking Wranglers with fucking crosses and rhinestones on them cool?
Why do you think he wore those fucking pants? Do you think he actually believes that those are cool? I mean, do you think he actually
Probably.
Do you think he actually thinks when you wear those fucking big ass... Can you pull up a picture of the Chrome Heart jeans?
It's in fucking songs. People rap about it. They're expensive. Yeah, they're exclusive.
Get rid of all that shit. All of the, like, the glamour about it and, like, being quote-unquote Chrome Heart. Do you think that people that wear those actually think they look good?
That's fashion, though. It's the glamour. It's not about looking good and being comfortable. It's about paying attention to what's happening and being a part of it.
There they are.
Yeah.
Those are the jeans he was wearing at Super Bowl.
Yeah, that looks like the fucking jeans that like Justin Timberlake wore to the fucking VMAs with Britney Spears when they were all denimed out.
Those look like the jeans that Shane's grandma wears to church.
They look like Ed Hardy jeans without fucking rhinestones on them. Bro, they look like fucking...
They look terrible.
They look like some broke-ass Kmart Wranglers that have been fucking in somebody's sock drawer. For the past 20 years, somebody pulled them out, slapped some crosses on them, and sold them at a flea market.
It's so weird that it's just so fucking weird that people just wear those because of the price tag and because people know that they're expensive.
Yeah.
It's like wearing an expensive watch.
Yeah.
It's like wearing a fucking Audemars Piguet watch. You're like, oh yeah, bitch, yeah, this watch is $100,000.
But it tells the same time as your fucking watch you got right there.
My piece of shit $7 Casio.
Time's the same for all of us, no matter how much you pay for it.
But we're all paying for it.
Yeah, we're paying one way or another.
Time's the one thing you ain't getting back, brother.
Oh, and we ain't making it out of this life alive.
Do you miss working for Leo Burnett?
Fuck no, dude.
Why not?
It sucked. Well, it was awesome while it was going on. But I don't know.
That was your dream job.
Yeah.
When we worked together in Clearwater.
Yeah.
That was like Mad Men, Leo Burnett working in a big building in downtown Chicago or
Big Tobacco.
Big Tobacco. That was like your dream. Back
working
then.
On Marlboro.
You thought that was the pinnacle of existence.
That was my existence. That was all I worked for. And yeah, just like any grass is always greener, but as soon as you get there, you find out it's the same shitty grass that you were looking at, just from a different perspective. You get there, it's great, it's cool, this is fun, this is awesome, it's everything I ever wanted it to be, and then like it becomes normal, and then you start to see it for what it is, and 70 hours a week, that ain't cool. It's a lot.
It's cool if you like it, though.
You burn out super quick. Like 70 hours a week for like a year and a half, that'll catch up to anybody, man.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it. I mean, it's like, it's cool. Like, I'm really grateful that I like stepped out and pursued it.
People who don't know what Leo Burnett is like the biggest, most like established, oldest, most elite advertising agency in the country.
Yeah. If you've ever seen a commercial, they probably made it.
Yeah.
They had McDonald's for a super long time. So like every McDonald's commercial up until like 5 years ago, they made. They've done all the Marlboro advertising since the 50s. And it's like Kraft, Kellogg, Miller. So that's like Coors, Miller High Life, like all those fucking beers. Nintendo was the floor below us. That was sick. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you've experienced it too. Like you get to a certain point with something where you're like striving for and like, if I just get that, that's what I need. And then you get there, it's like, okay, cool, now what? And then you're just like there and you're just like looking and it's like there's still always something more.
It's miserable.
It was miserable.
Would you say it was miserable?
Yeah, for sure. Like towards the end, it was super miserable.
Really?
Yeah. And I did everything I wanted to.
What was your favorite? What made you want to be in advertising? Like what was like, obviously you're good at design and shit yeah. and you're creative and you love music. But why an ad agency?
Advertising is everything. So like if you think about like a commercial, it's not just like what it looks like. You know, it's like what it looks like. What does it sound like? What is the writing? And it's just like a complete, total creative immersion of a vision for something. And you're selling something, which makes it even more challenging, which is what I like most about it. It's not just like creativity for the sake of like being creative. I was never really good at being creative like that. You know, I feel like I need a problem to solve. And advertising is all about solving problems creatively. Like, oh, we need to inform these people about this thing in this way. So you have to take that messaging and then turn it into a commercial.
So you're saying that you like the process of trying to sell just as much as you like the process of like creating the art?
Yeah. The messaging. It's like propaganda for a product where you almost have to brainwash people into believing that it's good. It's like, you know, go to McDonald's. Oh, my hamburger doesn't look like the picture. Yeah, no fucking shit. It's an ad. You fucking dumbass. What did you expect? You think there's fucking food stylists in the back of McDonald's working the drive-thru?
But before you went to Leo Burnett, we were creating some sick fucking advertising.
We were.
So my question to you is, what made you want to go work for an ad agency when we were basically creating like sick ads on our own? We were basically like entrepreneurial, creating our
right.
ads. We were on the phone selling shit to Hulk Hogan.
Right.
But you wanted to go work for an agency. Like what?
Right.
I personally never understood that. So I'd be interested to hear like your thoughts on or what you were feeling. What made you want to do that? We are brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free and smelling nice downstairs. I have tried to use regular beard trimmers in the past to cut my cock and balls, and I cut the shit out of myself, and it was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre cutting myself with a fucking open tuna can. But this thing doesn't do that because it's got this ceramic blade on it, and it feels like butter. Don't make the mistake I did. Don't use the same trimmer on your face that you use on your nasty nutsack. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CONCRETE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code CONCRETE. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Honestly, I felt like what we were doing wasn't really mine. I felt like it was you. Concrete is you. And I was just there helping you realize a vision. And what solidified that and what, you know, made me ultimately leave was when we were doing the Hulk Hogan video. Yeah. And at the end said, produced by Danny Jones. Yeah. Well, originally it said produced by Danny Jones and Luke James.
Yeah.
But in front of Hulk Hogan, you said, take your name off. You got to put in your time.
Right.
So that didn't sit right with me. So I was like, well, I see that he's in this for himself. So I'm going to go out and see what else is up. And so then I went out, saw what else was up, worked at a place in Tampa, got to work on the Florida Lottery. That was cool.
So it was Chicago. It was like a one-time reaction to that moment?
No, that wasn't a reaction to that because I didn't like leave until a couple months after that. That was just something that never really sat right with me.
Oh, so it was like, so you're saying it was that one moment that you kind of dwelled on and you thought about, and that moment was kind of like a turning point for you.
That really hurt my feelings.
It really hurt your feeling?
Yeah, dude. I thought we were in it together.
So that was, you would say that that was like a legitimate turning point for you, that you like made a decision, like you dwelled on it for a while, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was a reason you made a decision to go work for ad agencies for, just because, was it because you wanted to learn more, or was it because you just wanted to get away from what I, from me?
I felt like, well, obviously, yeah, I wanted to learn more because like, yeah, we were doing cool
because
shit.
Obviously, I can, obviously you were resentful about that moment. I could see how anyone would be resentful.
Yeah. That. And I also wanted to learn from people that have done it. You know, it's like, yeah, we could like crank out cool shit like all day up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I wasn't really learning anymore. And I love learning. Big fan of learning and like trying new things, seeing what else is out there. So I just wanted to go like work for people that have like been in advertising and done like big campaigns and like have studied advertising writing and studied like positioning and messaging and everything that goes into making a successful ad and see how I could do that to make myself a better creative. And I feel like I did that. I feel like I came back a little bit stronger and sharper than I did when I left. It was kind of like a really long journey coming back to the same place, but I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it when I left?
When you left, oh, dude, I was fucking crushed.
Yeah.
I was fucking crying. Sweet Pea, it was like you came over early.
Yeah.
And she was still asleep.
I had a Publix bag full of hard drives.
Yeah. Yeah. She woke up to me literally on my couch sobbing, like didn't know what the fuck to do. I had like a Johnson Jewelers commercial due the next fucking day.
Yeah.
You just dumped all this shit in my lap. I was fucking pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? How can this cocksucking motherfucker just drop all this shit when we know we have shit due? Like, how can he not give me a warning? Like, well, the reaction was terrible. I mean, the initial reaction was terrible. But yeah, I mean, you know, big picture after, like, thinking about, you know, talking to you about it and learning from it. I mean, obviously, it's just a learning. It's just growth. It's just, like, being young and stupid and making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is selfish sometimes. Everybody's selfish, you know, some people more than others, but you got to trip and fall on your face and get up from it and learn from it if you're going to get better. So, but yeah, it was devastating. It was fucked up. We didn't talk, me and this guy didn't fucking talk for like 5 years.
That was a while.
5 years. Yeah. And me and Shane it was like an ongoing joke with me and Shane for the whole 5 years. Me and Shane still talked every day. And we'd always make jokes about you. I'm like, hey, you think Luke would want to go with us here? I'm like, let's hit up Luke. We would still, like, the way me and you and Shane talk every day on the group chat, that was consistent through that whole hiatus.
It was just like, you're just making fun of me without being there.
We were making fun of you without being there. Except we weren't really making fun of you. We were kind of like,
like full circle making fun of me,
right?
Because we know that I was the reason that you weren't, you didn't fuck with it, both of us.
Yeah, that's so, how you know it's like some real hatred. It's like, so I don't fuck with either of you. I ain't fucking with you either.
Yeah.
Your proximity is unfuckwithable. I can't go over there.
Oh, bro. And Shane would call me every time he saw you. He was like, bro, I was at the fucking, what's the bar with the finger in front of it? Downtown with the finger that points down to the door.
Oh, the Benz.
The Benz. I was at the Benz. I saw Luke.
Luke's dirty emo night.
I made eye contact with the Lukester.
We said hi.
Oh, man. No, yeah, it was a hilarious daily ongoing inside joke with me, Shane, and Sweet Pea for 5 years.
Yeah. I'm glad we patched
and
it
Sweet
over.
Pea knew why. I mean, Sweet Pea knew why more than anybody because she knows me better than anybody.
Yeah, she knows how difficult
she knows
you can
exactly
be.
How I am. She knows exactly how, you know, selfish I was.
Yeah.
I still am probably, but more so back then.
You're better.
But
I noticed it. I recognized it.
Yeah. And, dude, I mean, that was, give me some credit. That was a high-pressure situation.
You handled it.
No. The Hulk well. Hogan situation. When Hulk Hogan was standing over our shoulders and oh. we were like, whose name do we put? And I'm like,
they were both there. They were there. The but graphic was
the,
made.
The like, reason.
It only has one name at the end of the
Hulk
video.
Called me beforehand and he was like, bro, how can we have two fucking names directed by at the end?
Don't put this name? On fucking Hulk.
We can only have two
don't
names.
Don't put this on Hulk. I don't buy that
so
for a
I
goddamn
had,
second.
I had Hulk with his fucking thumb on my head. And I had you with your fucking
I'm
boot.
I'm about to leave again.
Your boot on my throat. And I had to make a decision in the moment. And I made the coward decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit to it.
I don't know if I believe that, but it's a good story.
It's true. It is true. It is true about Hulk. He made a comment about the two names being on it. And, you know, when he questioned, I mean, obviously, if he did, if the same thing happened now and anybody questioned me like that, I would obviously take your side over anybody because I realize now I'm not anything, nothing means anything without the fucking people that I'm surrounded with because what the fuck am I gonna sit here and
talk
like, it's like a podcast, like the podcast. 95% of the reason anybody watches any of these videos is because of the people I bring on,
right?
Not but because of me. They don't like
your,
watching me.
This is your turn to your time to shine though.
Yeah, well, anyways, I've realized that the talent around me is the reason that I'm able to do anything.
Yeah.
So
it's good to realize that because the, you know, as you realize that, like you can stop using people to like obtain things, but you can start like collaborating with people and bringing people up with you and like really connecting with people when you're not, you don't have some like outside interest in like using their skills for something. Like somebody sitting here, like you're genuinely interested in the people sitting here. You're right. Not just using them for what they may or may not do for you. Like, this is just what you do.
Yeah.
Now, like, you actually have, like, an interest in person. I think the podcast has helped you grow. Like, you're still a fucking idiot, for sure, 100%. Totally. But, you know, I feel like you've gone more empathetic since you started this. And since, like, since I went from not talking to you to talking to you, something happened in there where it was just like, oh, maybe I should figure out how to not be such an asshole all the time.
Yeah. Well, this thing is definitely hard as fuck to do. Like, this is nothing like anything that we used to do together.
This
like,
podcast?
It's nothing like doing commercials. It's nothing like...
Oh, no.
Those commercials that I've been sending you guys lately, that the ads that I've been doing in the podcast, those are so much fun for me to do.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, like, I get to, like, make a video again.
You get to create.
I get to create something with music and that's fucking edited. Like, this is kind of like, I don't get to do any of that with this. I just, it's all done right here. It's all just like this exercise. It's like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Like going to the gym. Like you don't fucking want to do it. You don't want to wake up early as fuck and go to the gym and run on the treadmill and do your workouts and sit in the sauna, whatever you do.
Right.
It's like, that's how I feel about this still, even after this is only like the 110th time I've done it. But it's like, it's a difficult exercise. It's like a game of ping pong. Like you got to. It's like going back and forth. Keep the ball fucking going before you fumble it and make sure that you can talk. And I was thinking about it on the way here, like doing these things, the hardest thing in the beginning was like thinking about when I'm creating, like when we're creating commercials or mini documentaries or whatever, like deckhands, you're thinking about the overall finished product.
Mm.
You're thinking about it from like a 20,000 foot view of it. That's how I think about these sometimes and it fucks up the whole thing. fucks up the podcast. Because I'm thinking about, like, the final product, how it's going to be, what I'm going to talk about, like, talking, whatever it might be.
You're not in the moment.
But the best way to do this thing is to, like, just submerse yourself in the moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not think about the final product. But it's a hard thing to do. It's really fucking difficult to do. For me, at least. I don't know if it is for everybody, but...
You got to remove yourself from the outcome and just enjoy the process of it.
Yeah.
And it's like you're learning how to have a conversation every time you sit down. Yeah. And the biggest thing that... Because I'm nervous as fuck being here, too. Because it's like... I'm at home alone all day by myself and, like, not really talking. Like, we text and, like, I'll, like, call my mom. But, like, I don't have very much interaction with people. So, like, relearning how to... talk. This is the most talking I've done in probably like a year, honestly. And like, there's a very clear difference between the way that you're talking and the way that I'm talking. And it, you can tell that you talk a lot more than I do. And you've definitely gotten better at that. And I think one thing that also helped you get better too is you've gotten better at listening and shutting up.
Mm. Yeah.
And letting people be themselves and giving them the microphone and like knowing when to back out.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've ever been that good at talking. I mean, if I've gotten, this has definitely made me better at talking. I feel like before I was just more of like a stuttering moron. Now I just have a little bit more knowledge.
The stutter still comes through a little bit.
Still comes through.
The moron is getting pushed to the background.
Dude,
but I mean,
that photo of Pinky in the Brain is the funniest fucking thing.
That is you and Shane.
Ever. That is 100%. Like the most accurate thing ever. Except I'm not that angry. My head's not that big. But I mean, I get it. It's exaggerated, so it's fucking so funny. It's so.
And he's
funny.
Always got some crazy idea. You've always got some crazy idea like this, and then Shane's just there, fucking milligrammed out of his fucking gourd, drooling on himself. Like, huh? What? Where's the ports at?
Oh my god, dude, that would be the funniest fucking shirt or something. That would be so good.
Might have to do it.
That fucking photo of him cruising down the PCH.
He's getting it. He's joining Sons of Anarchy,
That's
right?
That's the first time he's been to California.
Good for him. What are they doing out
I'm
there?
I'm really liking his whole, like, transition into, like, his biker look. I think it's better than, like, the ghetto white boy look.
How far do you think he's going to go with it?
I don't know.
Do you think he's going to end up in, like, leather and chaps?
No, I don't know. I think he'll, like, the farthest he'll go is, like, to looking like Jax from Sons of Anarchy, maybe.
Yeah, he did have the flannel on today. I saw that in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, he had you can see his sleeve.
Yeah.
The flannel.
I think that was the exact one that Jax wears.
He came over to Jab, my dad's house, the other day, and he was wearing the flannel.
You stopped yourself from saying Jab.
No, Jab. Well, we call him so many different things. Like, me and Shane call him Rock Hopper. You call him, a lot of people call him Jab. Get that Jab.
Get that Jab, boy.
But he came over wearing fucking Harley boots, jeans, the flannel, the hair slicked back.
Mm.
He looked like a completely different dude. Sweet Pea was like, damn.
Damn.
Like, whoa, easy, Sweet Pea.
Cool it. Are you going to ride?
I mean, I do. I think it's cool. I mean, I would like to be able to do it, but I don't know. I just feel like it's so fucking dangerous.
The mentality of ride like everybody's going to hit you, that's not enjoyable. That's what they tell you in the school. Like, every car that you see, like, pretend they're going to hit you.
They say that in the school?
Yeah. So you're, like, super cautious.
Did you go
like,
through it?
Yeah. I had my license for a little bit. I
really?
Lost it. Yeah, I got when I transferred my license to Illinois, I failed the motorcycle test like 8 times, and they're like, well, you're clearly not going to pass this, so I lost it.
No fucking way.
But whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I like the idea of it. I mean, I like the idea of being able to hop on a Harley and cruise. I mean, it sounds cool. Like, I would love to be able to pull up the fucking podcast on a Harley and...
Yeah.
But it's just fucking I mean, it's
But that's
fucking,
it. Like, where do you go beyond
that's
that?
That's it. That's
You're
really
You're just
going
to go, like, a quarter mile and, like,
yeah, that's all really right. it. I mean, it's that's a cool... Tight. I mean, it would be a cool hobby, like, to get into. Like, it would be an extra, like you, like, getting a beat pad and downloading Fruity Loops and...
Yeah. It's just something to
NFL
do.
Studio and trying to learn something new. I mean, it would be a cool thing to, like... I would like to, like, customize a bike and have it and just, like, cruise it just for... You know,
just a weekend warrior.
Once a month, just like cruise it down the beach or go somewhere and do that. But it's just I don't have room for it in my life right now.
You know, you're already doing so much. Like, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I have a kid, and like,
you're getting a pool.
I'm getting a pool.
It's
That's enough.
Pool season,
can
bro.
Can I enjoy my pool before I'd buy a fucking Harley? And
That's enough.
Do all that.
Yeah.
Because I don't just want to, like, if I bought one, I wouldn't just want to buy one. I would want to, like, customize it, make it look sick. I would want to make it, like, the Undertaker Harley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd want to make
something
it look
really
sick.
Yeah.
I'd want to go all out, just like I'm doing with this pool, which is bankrupting me.
Well, I mean, but it's a pool. It's something you get to look at and enjoy every single day.
It's my own little personal tropical paradise in my backyard. I get to come home to every day.
What, are you going
to
go halfway on a pool?
Huh?
Like, what are you going to, like...
No, hell no.
You know?
No, bro.
You just get, like, the above ground with the liner. Like, yeah, it's pool. It's water in my backyard.
Bro, the worst thing about the fucking pool is that you're already spending X amount of dollars to do the pool itself. And you're getting, like, the big pool. You're 6 feet deep, you know... certain size, you're at like $50,000 for just the pool. And like, oh, do you want the water fountain? They're only $1,700 each, the little fucking water fountain.
That point, fuck it.
What's an extra $4,000?
What's that?
Fuck it. Oh, okay. Well, we'll do that 3 weeks later.
By the way,
I mean, you might just want to like do pavers on the inside of the patio also that match the rest of the
pool. Really tie it all together.
I mean, you're going to have a step down, and it's going to be fucking awkward.
And who wants that?
Who the fuck wants that? So we might as well, I mean, okay, what's the price on the pavers? $5,000? I'm like, oh, let me talk to the wife. Yes, we want it.
Obviously.
We're throwing in an extra $5,000 for the pavers.
We're getting the pavers.
So now we're like, we're up an extra $15,000 over budget, and we're doing the whole goddamn thing. And the problem is, like, you can justify it. Like, oh, yeah, it's I'm putting it into my house. I'm going to get my money back. It's an investment.
That's
but it's
the
not.
Story you tell yourself.
It's not.
To convince yourself that it's fine.
The pool, the reality is, in this area, the value of a pool, if you have the same exact house without a pool, with a pool, it's only about $30,000 extra. So whatever you spend on a pool, $30,000, you'll get back. They're above 30,000. Whatever you spend above 30 on a pool is basically just lighting on fire.
Mm. Are you within that scale of fuckery?
I am. The pool is. I'm already about $60,000.
Holy fuck, bro! What are you filling that thing with?
So 30, I'm lighting on fire, basically.
God damn!
But well, fuck it, dude.
I can't wait to come over.
Everything can't be objective, analytical.
No,
sometimes you gotta do shit emotional.
Pure enjoyment.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
YOLO, bro.
YOLO it. Fuck it.
I'm in my early 30s. I want to enjoy life now.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Wait to enjoy it? Like when you can hardly fucking walk?
Yeah. At least I don't have any student debt.
Hell yeah.
You don't have any, right?
Hell no.
Good.
Nope.
Almost every guy I have on here that's like a filmmaker went to Full Sail. I've had like 4 people on here that went to Full Sail, and they all say they owe like 50, 60 grand back.
Yep, people that go to Ringling, fucking 100 grand easy in debt.
Is it the Sarasota College?
Yeah. I got none. My parents had Florida prepaid.
I had that too.
And then I had Bright Futures. So I actually got...
I didn't have that.
I got paid when I went to college, and I just spent all like... I'd get money back. So I'd get like a couple $100 a semester for like whatever, and I just like spent it on guitar gear.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like
that's pretty sick.
Bought amps, guitars, cool like, shit.
I had prepaid, Florida prepaid, but I got I did the thing where you like get the money. Like I didn't go to college, so I just got the refund from the state.
Yeah,
but it's only like 20% of what they originally put into it.
Fuck it, you don't have debt, and that's the most valuable thing you can have going into any career.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, like, force you to do something that you didn't want. It, you know, helped you start all this shit.
Yeah, well, I also didn't go into anything with debt. Like, I didn't like, create, like, a business that is based on money owed back. Like, I started everything from money in. Like
right.
Let's make money before we spend it. Let's not borrow a bunch of money and get investors and pay ourselves before we're actually making money.
Right. And that's the thing about, like, this kind of work. It's like... very little overhead for like making content and like being creative.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just like fucking off the top,
mm-hmm.
which I really appreciate.
Yeah. We're rare down here in Florida, kid. It's not like California up north in Silicon Valley
where
everything is basically just going to a lunch or a dinner and raising a couple million for your idea.
Fuck that. Yeah. When we moved here from Chicago, Sam kept her job. She got a fucking raise because of the taxes were so different between here and
Illinois. Oh my God.
So she got like a couple extra $100 a month.
Really?
Yeah, taxes are crazy up in Chicago.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Are they as bad as California?
Never been.
I mean, I don't know what like the numbers are as far as like.
It's like $13 for a pack
part
of cigarettes.
Like which part?
That's my gauge for things like how much is a pack of cigarettes? A pack of cigarettes in Chicago is like $13. That's a lot.
When's the last time you bought a pack of cigarettes?
I
don't think I've bought a pack of
years.
Cigarettes. I have no idea what a pack of cigarettes costs.
Years.
I just bum them off people when I smoke.
Just bum Newports
just
off Shane.
I bum Newports off Shane whenever I smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Bro, smoking cigarettes is underrated.
What do you mean?
People like to hate on smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes suck.
Cigarettes suck because...
And I worked for fucking Marlboro.
I know you worked for Marlboro with Leo Burnett. You did a whole like ad campaign for them, right?
Yeah.
You designed... What did you do for them?
The displays behind the counter at the convenience store when you go. Like, you know where all the cigarettes are?
Yeah.
So like, you know, they have like the big banner up top. It's like Marlboro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I designed two of those that went nationwide.
That's fucking sick.
And like all like the fucking signage for every convenience store in the country.
Did you ever go into a store and see one of your designs?
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, I remember I came home one time and went to the corner store and I got a picture of me behind the counter.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Hitting it like that. But yeah. Cigarettes suck.
Cigarettes are underrated though.
They brainwash you, dude.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get all that. But having a cigarette every once in a while, nice.
Yeah.
Can we agree with that?
I can agree on a cigar.
What about a cigarette?
No.
No?
No. Because it's like the Larry David thing. You smoke a cigarette different than you smoke a cigar. And you're smoking a cigarette, you're like, ah. You know, it's like a thing. You
no,
know?
It's like a, there's like a thing to it. Like, you take a big fucking hit of a cigarette, you inhale it, and it gives you a little bit of a head rush, and you get like energy from it. It gives you like, it gets the neurons fired up in your head. Like, when I smoke a cigarette, when Shane comes over.
That's just the oxygen cutting off, and you fucking getting lightheaded in that big ass fucking dome. That's what that is.
No, bro, I'm telling you, when Shane comes over and I smoke one of his Newports before we do some of like the crazy podcasts, I'll feel like more just dialed in and laser focused after I smoke a cigarette. Mm. Something about the nicotine. I don't know what the chemicals or the sciences of it, but something about it just like really gets me fucking on fire. Just one. All I need is one.
You should start smoking more.
One? No, I mean, you don't need to start smoking. You don't need to. I mean, if you go and buy a pack of cigarettes, you've gone too far.
But it's okay to bum them.
It's okay to have a cigarette on occasion. Like, if you go out to a bar.
So you're saying if you, like, you get it from somebody, it doesn't count.
Exactly.
But, like, where does that line stop? Oh, I don't have the bag on me, but I'm going to just go do a couple bumps. That gives me a lot of energy, too. Oh, it's not. Ooh. These aren't my pills. I just took one from my friend.
It is about the same. It's yeah. You could say it's the same thing. Like you're not buying this shit.
I didn't spend any money on it.
Yeah, you didn't spend any money on it. But you just benefited from it. But I could say like doing a couple bumps when you're drunk is beneficial. If you gotta drive home and you're wasted, you gotta do a couple bumps to get you home. What's the harm in that?
Where's the harm in a little cocaine?
I mean, you're not doing it every day. You're not abusing it. You're not a cokehead.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, you're not buying it.
I'm not holding it.
You're not holding it. You're not selling it. You're not whatever. I mean, I think cocaine should be illegal. I mean, legal. Cocaine should be legal.
Why do you think it should be legal?
Because if it was legal, it'd be safer. If it was regulated by the fucking FDA and the government said, hey, you want to buy cocaine? Yeah, you can go. Do you know you can get prescribed cocaine? I learned that on a podcast.
Cool.
You can get prescribed cocaine legally.
Where?
Anywhere.
Like
there's a medical condition. I forget what the fuck it is right now. Maybe you can look it up, producer. There's a way you can go to the doctor, and if you have a certain medical condition, you can get prescribed cocaine. I was listening to a podcast.
I have anxiety. Does that work like with a weed card?
Hamilton Pharmaceutical. You know Hamilton, who has the show about doing drugs?
Yeah.
He said it. He said that he met a guy.
Well, Hamilton said it.
Yeah.
He's kind of the authority.
He's the drug god.
He's the drug lord.
He's the drug lord. He's the drug overlord.
Yeah.
But no. If cocaine was regulated and it was safe and wasn't cut by some fuck lord in his in a trap house cutting it with fucking borax, and it was actually safe to use under certain circumstances.
Like a cocaine bar?
Not recreational.
Recreational? Are we talking about like a hookah bar?
And there was a limit. If you're fucked up, I mean, it'll blow your mind the amount of people that Sweet Pea knows and her cousins know that are like in their 20s that do cocaine every night of the week. It blows my mind.
Everybody does coke.
It's insane.
Still, like even I never people realized my parents' it. Age are still doing it.
I never realized
why,
it.
Why do you need to be 60 years old doing coke? You're gonna have a fucking death wish, bro.
Dude, I never realized how many people did it.
Yeah,
it's
everywhere.
Fucking insane.
Yeah,
it really blows your mind when you go out somewhere casually, and you just see people like doing coke, or you like see people in the bathroom. You see a baggie somewhere, or you see like somebody in the bathroom. You're just casually going to the bathroom, and you hear somebody in the stall doing.
Yes, yeah, I go.
Like, why does it surprise me so much?
Yeah, we're the weird ones because we don't do it anymore.
Right, we don't do it anymore. Yeah, but it's so surprising. Like, but when we did it, or when I used to do it, like back in the day when we were younger and we'd go into a fucking bathroom stall and sneak a couple bumps in, I always thought like we were fucking breaking some crazy law or we were being so deceptive. But now I go to a bar and people don't even give a fuck.
No.
They do it right out in the open, in line to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. You don't even need a stall anymore. It's just a little, whatever.
So what I'm saying is, like, if it was legal and all of the shit was, it was safer and not cut with, like, really dangerous things, and, you know, it was regulated. Like, if you didn't have to go to a drug
dealer. It was taxed and regulated.
It was taxed and regulated. Maybe your doctor only gives you an 8-ball a month, and you got like,
eight,
okay,
ball a month.
I got to conserve this 8-ball for the month.
Can that ain't that? Happening, boy. I tell you that much. That 8-ball ain't lasting
the
day.
That's the problem with it. The problem. Once you start, you can't stop.
Mm-mm. Was it once too many?
Once too many, and a thousand ain't enough.
Million, boy.
A million ain't enough. That's a fact. Dude, I don't understand how so many people, like the guy fucking Billy Corbin I interview, the old school people who like from Hollywood, these movie producers, people who make all these famous documentaries, they claim they never done cocaine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are people out there, but I feel like
I don't believe them.
A lot of people just aren't coming to terms with the truth of their past addictions. Or maybe they're still doing it and they're just like, oh no, I don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to be around all that and like do the film and like not be a part of it? And,
like, don't you want to see what all the fuss is about?
No, you don't need that.
You made the Cocaine Cowboys documentary, the one of the most famous cocaine real-life documentaries in the history of the world.
And you're connected with, like, the sweetest...
You live in Miami.
The best cocaine in the world is just, like, coming to you, and you're
you
meeting all the
people
that have the connections.
You know more about cocaine than anybody. But never had the interest to just give it a whirl.
That's some willpower, if that's true.
That's some willpower. Or it's some... shitty lying.
What do you think? Do you think he was lying?
Yeah, I do.
You don't believe him?
I don't believe him.
I feel like you can see through people. I feel like once you do drugs and like you talk to people about doing drugs, you can see it.
I think
when you make eye contact with somebody, like you can tell if they've like been in it.
It's weird because everyone likes to talk. Like no one has shame in talking about doing any other kind of drugs. Like smoking pot, taking mushrooms, doing acid, those kind of drugs, like the psychedelic drugs.
Yeah.
But when it comes to uppers, nobody, it's like they avoid it like the plague. Mm. Nobody wants to admit to taking them.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know why that is. But nobody wants to admit to ever trying cocaine.
I think it's just got such like a
stigma to it.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just the way that it's talked about in the news and the way people
It's not in
discuss,
the news?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, like how like you like hear about it, like whenever people talk about it, it's like, cocaine is like this like awful thing and like the drugs led to murder and then the
it
blah,
is
kind of
like it is kind of like a gross thing the
yeah
fact that you snort it is kind of gross
yeah I don't know it was fun
snorting is
but I'm really
sick.
Grateful I don't do it anymore like grateful I did it cool saw like, what that was all about but, like
I think it's cool that like we got out of our system early
yeah
you know what I mean some people are nerds and they don't get exposed to it later and until like later in life
yeah
like in their 30s or 40s they try it for the first time.
And you got so much to ruin at that point.
If you're trying it that late, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
But if you tried it and got it out of your system in your early 20s, mid-20s, then that's I feel like that's fine. I feel like that's normal.
I feel like the people that try it in their 30s are the people that like end up like it really hits you hard.
Yeah.
They could be like, wow, I've been sleeping on this for way too long. Better
yes.
make up for lost time.
Yes.
And then like you just lose your entire life completely.
Yeah. Instead, you know, we almost... had some near-death experiences in our 20s from doing too much cocaine.
Yeah.
We learned our lesson. We went through the real world. We ain't no Michael Rapaports over here.
No, we're living. We're living. We're
fuck yeah, here. Brother!
Doing it, man. But about like legalizing shit, like when I got my card in Illinois, like a couple months later, I guess ketamine became legal. And like, get your ketamine card today. And
wait, what the fuck is ketamine actually?
I have no idea what it actually is, but it's just like a similar kind of like stimulant that just gets you super fucked up, apparently. It's a horse tranquilizer, I think.
Is it the shit people talk about? No, that's spice. I'm thinking of spice. In prison, people smoke spice. Have you ever heard of the stories about that?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah, I don't, never mind.
Spice is the fake weed, right?
It's fake weed, yeah. They smoke it in prison and they like start having seizures after they smoke it. And
oh.
They're like, freak out. I have no idea what ketamine is.
Not prepared to go in depth with it, but I mean, it's just like, I think at some point everything will be like legal to some extent or like decriminalized.
Have you ever tried smoking crack?
No. I got offered crack once.
Really?
I had a photography job that I went and like took pictures with this guy and his fucking family. He picked me up. Should have been a huge red flag right here. 8 a.m.
Oh, you told me this.
I told you this before. Fucking dude picks me up in like this fucking beater ass Astro van, 8 in the morning in Chicago, standing on the side of the street. Like him, his family's in the back. I get in the front seat. There's a cooler in the middle. He cracks a beer on the seatbelt that he's not wearing and gives it to me. So we just start drinking on the way to the thing. And like we just keep drinking all day and take some pictures. Yeah, cool, whatever. Get lunch, go home. And then like he's like, all right, I'm going to take him home. And so we go out to the car, and then there's this homeless guy that lives on the block too. He gets in the car. Like, okay, this is cool, I guess. Like, oh, yeah, he's got
random a random homeless guy.
I guess he's like his crack buddy. Like, whenever he wants to go smoke crack, I guess you don't want to smoke crack alone.
I don't smoke it in the morning.
This was in the afternoon. This is early afternoon. So he drives me home, stops at the bank, gives me money, and he gives me the money. He goes, so me and my guy back here, we're going to go smoke some crack. You can keep this money, or we can go spend it on some crack and smoke it together. And like, I think I'm going to go home and take my money. I really appreciate this. You guys enjoy the afternoon.
Oh, my God. That's a great fucking story.
One of the many twists
in
Chicago.
Turns.
In Chicago.
That's just the best.
I've never family photography night.
I've never been offered. But I always thought that I would want to try it before I go, before I die. I want to know what it's like. You know, all the jokes and all the stand-up, all the Dave Chappelle that I've watched. Like, I want to know what the fuss is all about.
It's not going to end well.
No.
There's never a story like,
no, it never
he
ends well.
Smoked crack and then he really turned his life around.
No, it's just,
usually
it's like, doing just like, it's got to be just like doing a lot too much coke.
Maybe.
It's got to be the same. It's the same thing chemically, right? Just
it's got to be different. It's got to be different. There's no way. Like,
they say it just hits way harder and it wears off way quicker.
That sounds terrible because
sounds
coke
awful.
Already doesn't even last as long.
Exactly.
Like, why would I want this to be like even more like gotcha.
Gotcha, bitch.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're right. That's
now you
point.
Need more. You don't smoke crack.
That's a good point. I'm not going to smoke it.
Don't smoke crack.
Don't smoke crack, people.
Smoke cigarettes.
One cigarette.
Every
once in a while.
Occasionally. Enjoy a cigarette. Don't smoke it.
Don't buy a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay? If you see some fucking loser who bought a pack of cigarettes, you can bum one of his cigarettes.
Yeah. Without, but first.
Make that's sure a good start.
Criticize them for buying the pack, but then take one.
Yeah.
And
no,
smoke
no.
It.
Take one first, then criticize them. Because if you make fun of them,
as you're smoking it.
Yes, yes.
So that way, like, you're on their level. So it's like, hey, I understand what you're going through because I'm smoking too.
Bro, watching Mad Men made me want to smoke cigarettes. Watching people smoke cigarettes makes me want to smoke cigarettes. Can you relate?
I mean, it's just all the trigger. Like, it's, again, it's just like the habit. You see people smoking, you see people enjoying it. Like,
yeah.
It triggers that thing in your brain. It's like, oh, yeah, I do like smoking cigarettes. Or, oh, yeah, I do like drinking. Or, oh, yeah, I do like fucking doing drugs. And, like, whenever you see people doing it in movies, it triggers it in you.
This is my first drink in, like, a month. And I haven't smoked weed in, like, 3 weeks.
Damn. Any reason in particular?
Yeah, I had a, like, a panic attack 3 weeks ago. I smoked too much. I took a fucking edible. Mm. And I was, like, I was in bed having, like, a fucking panic attack. And it was the worst thing ever.
I'm glad you made it through.
Went too far in the edible, bro.
I don't fuck with the edibles.
Went way too far. I've never been that fucking disturbed.
Did you almost go to the hospital?
No. No, I just sweated it out. I sweated it out, and I was like, I'm fucking done with weed for a while.
Just rode it out.
I'm a lightweight when it comes to that shit.
I feel like you never learn your lesson, though.
No. You always fall off a cliff eventually later. You learn your lesson for a couple months, and then eventually you'll fuck up again.
That's your style, though, like too much all at once.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the middle, bro. You're either like
all gas, no brakes.
You're a fucking all gas.
You're the same way.
I've toned it down a little
bit.
You're
the same fucking way, bro.
I've toned it down a little.
You're all or nothing.
Yeah, I can handle it a little bit better, though. I can ride it out. Let's get a little quiet.
Yeah, we have addictive personalities.
Yep. Yeah, we do. Fuck it. I think that's like a part of being like a hyper creative person too, is just like, I don't know, it's like something to help like calm the chatter and like the overthinking of everything and overanalyzing.
Yeah. Yeah, the overanalyzing is a fucking problem, dude.
Yeah.
Big problem.
You think way too much about nothing and then it gets in your way.
And you think the weed helps with that, but it just makes it worse, honestly.
Yeah, because then it like really makes you think about it, and then you go like start really going inside and seeing those things. And
which is, the, I mean, that's the biggest thing about the biggest difference between shit like coke and weed is because when you do coke, you don't really get anything from it when you're done. If you smoke, if you get really high, at least you kind of like you take something from it. You're like, oh wow, I realized this, or like I thought about that, and you can remember it after, and you're like, oh, that actually made sense that I thought about that because that's an actual problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like pulling weeds, kind of.
Yeah.
But with fucking doing shit like coke, you don't really get anything from that. You're just like, I fucking wish I'm never doing that again. Like,
you're just stamping in the garden. Yeah. Not pulling the weeds.
All you're doing is fucking stealing all of the dopamine from the next week.
Yep.
Right now.
Fucked.
It's the worst. I know a lot of people who are very successful and function off it every single day.
Yeah. It becomes habitual. It's like caffeine for them. You know, yeah. It's like they need it to function. After a while, like your body gets used to it, and it's like a part of your body's chemical balance.
I wonder if it's a. Do you think it's a? I mean, do you think normal people know as many people as, like, know the amount of people in their circle that like regularly do that shit? Or do you think it's just because of the area we live in? Maybe
it's everywhere.
You think?
Yeah. I've lived other places and I've seen just as much cocaine use. Shit, yeah. I saw people in fucking. Like meeting rooms, like you know, like every Friday, hey, let's party, cool. Everybody starts drinking or whatever. Like people duck off to like a back boardroom and fucking
really
hit a couple bumps.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know because I've never left this town.
It's the creative center of the universe, it is bro. The you got center. No reason to leave.
Seminole is the creative center. I'm like the only person. Me and Amato. No, Amato even fucking
he left.
Amato left. Amato I left. Never left Seminole, bro.
I came back.
You did
twice.
When are you leaving next?
I think I'm here.
You think you're here?
I'm here. I'm in it.
It's a great base.
I like it here, bro. Like,
it's a great base. I mean, you could travel anywhere around the world, but like living here and having like this area. I mean, now we can. It's easy to say I told you so now because everybody's moving to Florida right now.
Yeah,
because of the fucking pandemic. But
yeah, because it's like everything's open.
Right,
and it's like, like nothing's even happening.
And now everyone uses excuses like, "Oh, it's better because it's open." But
oh, the taxes also, are better.
The taxes are better and all that. But now they use that as excuses. But the only people who really benefit from that are people like Tony Robbins, who have like an insane amount of money, who save Tony Robbins probably saves like $100 million a year by living in Florida instead of California.
Right.
But this part, bro, this part of Florida is really great.
I'm a fan. It sucks you back and it's like, you know, been around, go places, you see shit, but like home is home and this is a good place to be. And it doesn't matter like after seeing what I've seen and like the places I've like gone and worked and shit, it's like you can do anything from anywhere with the right attitude. Like you don't need to be somewhere physically to do something cool. You just got to be in a good place mentally and like have the right attitude and like want to do the work. And you can do shit from fucking anywhere. Nobody's going to an office anymore. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be in a fucking city anymore.
That's why I feel bad for people like Mark.
Why is that?
Because like, I mean, people like me and you and Danielle, we're just like, we don't have to go to a fucking office anymore. We can work from home. We like working from home. Like subcontractors, people who do creative work, people who do whatever, employees of creative companies, they get to like, they love working from home and they hate the fact they have to go to an office. But I also sympathize with people like Mark because Mark created that big ass office downtown, that beautiful place. And he was like, it gave him life to see employees go in there every day. And that was literally like his oxygen.
Yeah.
And now it's like left.
It's just like a
rug. People don't want to go there, bro. People do not want to go in there.
No.
And I feel bad for people like him because I can relate to him as much as I can relate to people like, you know, myself, you and Danielle. You know what I mean? So it's a weird thing. I don't know. I feel bad because I think there's something to like going into an office.
I do miss the like
even though
I'm connection.
Yeah.
With people and like as much as like I used to fucking hate the like, hey, how's your morning going? Oh, hey, what's up? It's like, motherfucker, we just talked like 6 hours ago. It's
you
like,
know, it's so funny.
Give me a minute.
When Danielle first met you, she called me or she texted me right after the time she first met you. She goes, why the fuck are you and Luke like why do you guys act like the same person? You guys have like the same demeanor and the same like shitty sarcastic tone.
We spent a lot of time together. We spent way too much time together.
It was so fucking funny, bro.
That rules.
That was great. That was a funny ass thing to like read, to hear her like make that connection. Because like I felt like when I would go to the, I would go into the office like prior to like us linking back up, I would go into the Hoth maybe a day a week, 2 days a week.
Whenever they had free lunch.
Whenever they had free lunch. Fridays.
Free lunch Friday.
I would go in. And even though I went there one day a week, I felt like that. Like how you described. Like I'd walk in there. I'd be like, of course, I would stroll in at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Everyone else has been there since 8. And I'd be walking in and seeing everybody like in their little cubicles doing their own thing. Like in their own little worlds with their dogs and their cats and their whatever the fuck they have.
Their flair.
And I'm just like, I don't fucking want to even make eye contact with anybody. You know what I mean? I don't want to fucking be here. It's just not me.
Blinders.
But at the same time, there's like a huge benefit. It's like doing this. Like walking into that studio is the same thing for me. Walking into that office and passing all those employees and saying hi to people is the same thing for me as sitting down here and having like a 4-hour conversation with somebody I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the same uncomfortable thing, feeling, where like I don't like it, I'm uncomfortable with it, I don't want to do it, I get something from it.
It shakes you up a little bit, and I think the thing that you miss about it now, it's like, it's really great to like have the option to hate something when it's just pushed in front of you. It's like,
yes,
here's this thing, I don't like this thing, but it's here no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't like this thing. But now that it's, like, taken away, it's like, actually, I kind of miss that. Like,
yeah.
Why did I hate that in the first place?
Right.
Why did that bother me so much?
Yeah. Yeah, you want things more when you can't have, or when they're an option, or when you can't have them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Discipline is, like, the biggest thing. I think discipline is one of the biggest things that I've learned from this, or, like, learning from talking to people. Or learning from, I mean, discipline is one of like the most important things, I think, into like coming up with creative shit.
Yeah.
Is being disciplined about like even a routine,
mm-hmm.
or processes of doing shit, or sitting down and trying to get better at something. Like, it doesn't matter how good, how creative you are. Creative doesn't mean anything.
Uh-uh.
It literally is like, it means nothing unless you have discipline with it at the same time.
Creative is just like, how many times can you show up still have the same attitude?
It's talent with no direction.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, but like anybody can be creative. It's a muscle, like you said earlier. It's like you just got to show up and like do the work and prepare yourself. And when I like say self, I mean like your head, like your mind, your body, and like everything. Like you can't think of shit unless you're like snapping and like peak performance. And you got to treat yourself like an athlete. Yeah. To be able to think clearly and to be able to come up with, like, really cool shit that people want to hear. It's like, you know, like, you work out a lot. You do, like, the supplements and, like, you care about that kind of shit. And, like, you care about, like brain optimization, health optimization. And it's no different than the way, like, people in the UFC treat themselves or the people, like, at any, like, elite level treat themselves. Right. Like, this is a job.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fucking drink during the week. Like, I treat my, like, I eat super clean. I stay super hydrated all the time, and I make sure that I get enough sleep, because you know that's how you perform, and then that's how you develop that your brain. And like if you show up, like whatever you want to work on, whether it's like being creative, whether it's talking to people, whether it's fucking playing Fortnite, like you got to be in the right state of mind to be able to create and produce and like rise above everybody else.
Yeah. I'm super fucking drunk right now, dude. I've had like 3 of these whiskeys.
Bro, you're nodding out over there. I feel like you didn't hear a goddamn word I just said. I'm just getting fired up right here.
Dude, your tolerance is so much higher than mine. And you're slamming a Bud Light.
I gotta back it up.
God damn, son. How do you feel now that you're not vegan?
I feel good.
What's the difference? Do you feel any different or no?
How
long were you vegan for?
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Like strict?
Not super strict. I'd eat like cheese every now and then.
Did you sneak some shit in when Sam wasn't around?
No meat. No, never.
Never?
Never. We were in it together.
Not like a, you weren't like.
I don't go behind her back for anything. Like you, no, I'm
I know you walk into 7-Eleven and you see those Slim Jims staring at you, brother, and you want to snap into a Slim Jim.
Ooh, I see those those greasy glizzies on the fucking roller, and I just want to. No, I don't do that kind of shit. Cause like, again, it's like it's all about for me what it was. Like I went vegan when I started like going to an office, and that was a way for me to like almost like put up a wall between me and like everybody else, because like I also didn't like I was sober for most of the time that I was like at those places, like when I was working, because I didn't want to like make like any like true, like I had friends and everything, but I didn't want like those things that like tied me to those places, because it was always just like a pit stop to get to like where I'm at right now, because I just wanted to like
what
learn
do you mean
everything
things to tie you to those places.
Well, so it's like everybody eats together. Everybody does like same shit. Like, hey, we're gonna go to a restaurant. Do you want to come with us? Like, oh no, they don't have anything for me to eat there. Like, oh no, I don't drink, so I can't go to happy hour. I'm just gonna go home and hang out with Sam. So it was like my way of just like kind of like, ah, I'm good. But what was it? Oh, going. What were you saying?
I forgot
about going vegan. Oh, yeah. Vegan for 7 years.
Oh yeah. You were saying when you were up in Leo Burnett, you went vegan, and it was like it was also a way for you to like disconnect from the people that were there.
Yeah, and it was also just a way to like clear my mind. I was like going through a lot of stuff, and I felt like, you know, like changing my relationship with food was a big way for me to also like get off of like the old habits that I had, and like I just kind of wanted to like cut that, like I don't know, it's like a really like it's hard to explain because I've never really like thought about it until right now, but I think the biggest thing that I enjoyed about like being vegan was just I felt like it was something that me and Sam shared together no matter where we were at, because we didn't get to spend a lot of time with each other because we were always working. But, like, I always knew, like, wherever she was, like, we were, like, in this thing together.
Yeah.
And the thing that broke me was fried chicken, because I had this thought when I was like,
oh, yeah.
Do I really want to go the rest of my life without eating fried chicken? So that's what broke me. And I don't feel any different. I feel
You feel the same.
Yeah, I didn't get sick when I transitioned out of it.
Yeah,
I didn't like.
A lot of people like to hyper sensationalize like the difference of being vegan and not being vegan.
I mean, I don't know any of the science. I don't know any of the research. Yeah. I don't know whatever, but like, yeah. I don't feel any different. I feel good. I'm
eating
also
feels good.
Grateful too that like a lot of like one of the things that always really bothered me about it was like, say you'd go somewhere and somebody would make something for you, like, oh, we made this. And then you have to say, oh, I'm vegan. I can't eat that. Thank you for your generosity, but please just put it in the trash. I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah.
And that was something that always really bothered me, like having to say no to people's generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that I'm most grateful for, like transitioning back into just eating whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I feel like, I mean... I hate eating, like, Sweet Pea loves buying the fucking, like, Publix chicken breasts that are, like, this big.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you know they were just injected with all the most fucked up shit.
What animal did this come from?
Right, yeah, some fucking chicken on steroids. Like, I always feel like shit eating that, but she loves buying it. But she doesn't, like,
It's a good deal.
It's a great deal. They were a BOGO.
It's a good deal.
They were BOGO.
You gotta look past it. It's a good deal.
Like, I don't know. I feel like eating... For me, eating like, chicken's okay. Like, I don't mind chicken. Chicken all tastes the same. Tastes like whatever. It depends on what sauce you put on it.
Yeah, sauce.
But like sauce dripping.
Dripping sauce on it? On the chicken?
But like eating like a good steak to me is like eating a dessert.
Yeah.
It's like it's so fucking good. Like,
it stands on its own. It doesn't need anything.
Yes.
When you can
you don't
do
even
it
need
right.
anything. Like I could just eat like going to Ruth Chris with Mark, just ordering the fucking big T-bone or the ribeye with that garlic sauce butter all over it. Ooh. Dude, like there's nothing better than just eating just a big fucking juicy piece of meat with nothing else.
There's something really cool about just like eating with a knife too, because that's something you don't really
Ooh,
do when you're vegan.
Yeah,
because every like you like a lot of beans, a lot of greens, you know, a lot of veggies, so it's all just like bowls and grains, and all, you don't really need a knife or anything.
Have you ever gotten like blood work done and like looked at it?
Yeah.
You do it a lot?
Well, I had a health screening at one place that I worked at when I was vegan, and it came back like fucking A1. I was
really?
Like the healthiest fucking person in there.
Really?
And then I got it done again, like, a couple weeks ago, like, after I've been eating meat for, like, a year, and it's, like, everything's still, like...
Same?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I got mine done a couple, like, a month or two ago, and I had super high cholesterol.
Mm.
And I'm, like, the healthiest... I'm, like, the...
You're on it.
I'm super on it with what I eat.
Like, yeah.
I pay more attention to what I eat than probably anything else.
Yeah.
I'm very conscientious about what I eat and what I put in my body and everything. And, yeah. and I try not to eat shit, trying to eat carbs, try to only eat vegetables and meat. And I had really high cholesterol. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I emailed this guy that had the podcast, this guy, Dom, who's a,
oh yeah. The scientist,
nutritional scientist,
the weightlifter.
He's a, yeah. The guy who deadlifts.
Yeah.
The only person I know who's dedicated his life to nutritional science and how it affects your body.
And the cool thing about him, like, he's his test subject.
Yes, and he tests everything himself. He literally tests all these products on himself and tests his blood every single day to the molecule, to the fucking whatever it is. And I was texting him back and forth about it. I'm like, dude, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack any day now. My cholesterol's through the roof or whatever. And I found out, he's like, cholesterol's a myth. He's like, high cholesterol is not bad.
Hmm.
It's like, it's been this thing, this propaganda that people have pushed on us like for years, that high cholesterol automatically relates to heart disease when it's not. Because there's a lot of, he basically sent me all these studies of these crazy athletes that do like, that are like marathon runners and triathlon people who are super, super keto. And all they eat is meat and they don't eat any carbs or whatever. And these are like people that run 10 miles a day when they're not doing marathons, so on their off days.
Just a casual 10.
And they have super high cholesterol.
Hmm. I wonder why that is.
But it's like some sort of like, I don't know, I guess it's like a genetic thing or whatever. But his whole thing was, with all his studies, he's come up with the hypothesis that cholesterol is not bad. It's a myth that's been pushed on us.
Like, you know what? It's not bad.
It's not anymore.
I'm gonna go ahead and say not bad.
But a lot of people agree with him though.
I mean, he's just like a scientist that people can agree with now. Yeah. It's like he comes out, it's like, it's not bad. And it's like, see, told you.
Yeah.
Now he's like that person.
Yeah.
But that was weird. Who fucking knows?
Who fucking knows, man? Everyone's different.
And that's the thing too. It's like you can't just do what you think is good because it worked for somebody else. You got to do like what's good for you at the end of the day. Like,
what makes you feel good?
Yeah. What does fucking Bud Light?
Bud Light?
Bud Light, cold beer on a Friday
cold
night.
Cold beer, some Teeling, and some Liquid Death.
You know what makes me feel good?
What makes you feel good, Luke?
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Woo!
A cold beer on a Friday night. And you know what? I'm going to turn that radio on.
Luke, stir, let your hair down.
I'm letting my hair down.
Woo!
Oh, boy. And a little timeout.
We should make our own country song.
We should.
Me, you, and Amato should make a country song.
Yeah, and we could get Jake to stand in for like the guy singing it.
That opener up song was, that music video they did for that was really whack.
I didn't see the video.
I was not impressed with it.
No? Mm-mm. I saw beans were being poured on somebody in the Instagram clip.
Really?
Did they pour beans on somebody in the video?
I don't know. Hey, pull the opener up music video. YouTube, opener up.
Oh, they actually released the full video. It wasn't just the teaser?
They released it yesterday.
I'm glad we're doing this. This is cool.
This was great.
We should do this more.
We should. This was actually fun.
Yeah.
Even if we got Shane on here, it'd be really fun. Like, just us three talk. We'd talk about, like, funny shit, and we, like, actually, I think it was good.
I think it was, yeah, I was a little, like, I was like, how can I carry a fucking podcast? I haven't talked to anybody but my cat in the last fucking 2 months.
It's like an exercise. It's like a mental exercise.
Yeah.
For me, at least, because I suck at communicating, but...
And you know what I'm grateful for? Like, we actually got to, like, talk about shit. Like,
yeah.
Because we never, like,
real
actually
shit, yeah.
talk about it.
Everything else is so, like, whatever, like, in passing.
Right.
It's like a text about this, about that, and it's not really, like, a wholesome communication.
Is this it?
And you know what? It's yeah, like I said, like, can two bros have a conversation in 2021 without it being on a podcast? I think my answer is no. That's a hard no. Like,
no.
Nobody is having this conversation.
No.
Without microphones and a camera.
Dude, that's insane. I think that's the title of this podcast.
Can two bros have a conversation?
We'll see if that clickbait works on the 50 people on Patreon.
I don't know. That's a hard clickbait to think about. Look at that.
Let's watch it. Let's end the podcast by reviewing this music video.
Jelly roll. Open her up.
Volume up,
Aiden.
Hey, get the door.
Get the door.
Whippets. Oh, my God. Those pubes. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sam.
How many times is he going to be jerking off in this video? Is he drinking Basil Hayden? That ain't country.
That is not country. Is that really Basil Hayden?
Look like it.
Danny, I don't think I could turn it up anymore. I think you have to turn up the TV.
You have to use the TV remote.
Take it. You want some whiskey?
More, yeah, Danny? We got some good whiskey, Sam.
Open her up. Open her up. Oh, my God.
I want some C-section scars.
I mean, I'm into it.
It's fun.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
For a guy from New York doing country, I'll take it. But he's been in Florida for like 2 months and he's already singing country songs. I think it's getting to him.
A pissing section.
You think this is going to be the song of the summer?
Florida's been opened up like this since...
This ain't even...
July.
You should see Krabby Bills. This ain't even shit. That's a light crowd.
First of all, these guys are in Miami, so they don't even really live in Florida.
That ain't Florida.
Miami's not Florida.
That ain't Florida. That's pretty good. What do you think?
All right, we're done.
We're done?
We did it.
All right, let's do it next week.
We fucking nailed it.
Listen to the new Cannibal Corpse album.
Woo! What's up, world? You just watched a clip from one of our exclusive Patreon episodes. That's right, you can get weekly, pure, uncut content straight from the jungles of Colombia. If you want to watch the full episode, make sure you go to patreon.com/concretevideos. Peace.